It has been said that your time is your life. If you waste your time, you waste your life. St. Augustine said that we speak of time as though we understand it, but when we are asked to define it, our minds go blank. Time can be thought of as an endless series of decisions, small and large, that gradually shape our lives. Not only do we have difficulty defining time, but we also have misconceptions about time. For example, we often say that time flies. Of course, time does not fly. Time moves at a predetermined rate. Another misconception is that we can save time. We cannot really save time. We cannot put time in a bank or collect interest on time that is saved. Can we make up time? No. Once time is spent, it is irretrievable. Some say time is money, but it is valuable only if it is productive or enjoyable. We often feel that time and the clock are against us, but time can be on our side once we have the ability to organize our lives, to use time to our benefit. If the use of time is an endless series of management decisions, inappropriate decisions can produce frustration, lower self-esteem, and increase stress levels. An analysis of time wasters helps to build a firm foundation for good time management. A time waster is anything that prohibits us from reaching our objectives most effectively. Time is a perishable asset, and if we are not careful, it can be taken away without our even noticing it is being stolen. Time wasters are robbers. They can be divided into two major categories, major and minor time wasters. Major time wasters stand between us and what we want to accomplish. They include problems with our attitudes, goals, objectives, priorities, plans, and abilities to make basic decisions. Minor time wasters include distractions that hinder us once we are on the way to accomplishing what we want to accomplish. Minor time wasters can include interruptions that we face during the day, lengthy meetings of minor importance, needless reports, extended telephone calls, unexpected visitors, and many others. Hanselier points out that among people, there are racehorses and there are turtles. Most of us fall somewhere between the two extremes. If you are a casual person, you probably do not want to be in a profession that requires you to run a race. Your real pleasures may be at home in the evenings, watching your children grow up, or spending time with a few close friends. If you are a real racehorse, you may find it stressful to sit quietly in familiar surroundings. Different people have different values and pleasures. Jimmy Buffett sings a song called "It's My Job." His words describe an attitude of contentment expressed by a street sweeper as he is sweeping the streets. He sings, "It's my job, and that's enough reason to go for me." The street sweeper has resolved his values with his job, and he does the best at what he has chosen to do. We all have choices in life, although sometimes we are put into situations that allow us to choose only how we will react. The prisoners of war in Vietnam responded differently depending on their interpretations of their situation. Some became depressed and focused only on the horror around them. Others used it as a vacation for self-improvement and practiced musical instruments, played golf, wrote books, or exercised. Some returned depressed, and some returned with new skills. Many people feel that they too are POWs, but they mean prisoners of work. You probably have a choice in your vocational endeavors. Write down your job description and decide if it describes what you want to be doing. If you choose your present job situation, use the job stress as an opportunity for self-improvement. When you fill in your goals and priorities, be sure these are what you truly want. It is easier to reach the goals of your choice than goals chosen by parents, spouse, colleagues, or peers. To help you define your lifelong goals, first imagine that you are very old and you overhear your grandchildren or relatives talking to their friends about you and your life. What would you want them to say about you and your accomplishments? Write down your thoughts on this subject. Next, Write your own epitaph. An epitaph is an inscription on a tomb, and it's written as a tribute to the dead person. How would you want others to remember you? As you list your future goals, remember that people are goal seekers by design. We constantly adjust our self-image and subconscious to help us reach goals. Often our goals are not planned, or they are dictated by negative self-talk, such as, I can't do this very well, or I just know she's not going to like me. Many people actually program themselves not to reach goals by using negative self-talk, failing to define goals clearly, or neglecting to make plans for reaching well-chosen goals. Most people spend more time planning a party or reading the newspaper than they spend planning their lives. Dennis Waitley describes winners as people with a definite purpose in life. He also says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Keep his words in mind as you explore your goals and the value you place on them. Goals must be attainable and objectives must be quantifiable. In addition, goals should be flexible in the event that they are blocked by other priorities. If you set as a goal acquisition of a luxury automobile, for example, you may find that you spend more per month than you had expected. That may or may not be compatible with your other goals. On a different scale, you may have set researching a new project as a goal. If the boss comes in and says the budget has to go to committee tomorrow, your priorities may shift. Your long-term goal is starting the new project, but without money budgeted for it, you may be doing the research out of your own pocket and on your own time. That is why it's helpful to establish flexible plans for achieving long-term goals. Do this exercise involving two-minute drills. First, spend 2 minutes writing down all the goals that you would like to accomplish in the next 5 years. Limber up your imagination and write down anything that comes to mind. Spend only 2 minutes on this task. Next, list all the goals you hope to accomplish next year. Spend only 2 minutes. Spend only 2 minutes writing down all the goals you want to accomplish for the next 6 months. Spend the last 2 minutes writing down all your goals for the coming month and include work priorities, self-improvement programs, recreational activities, social functions, family gatherings, and so on. Now that you've created these 4 lists of goals, go back and prioritize each goal. Use an A, B, C format. A's will include all those items that you rank as being most essential and most desired. They are your must-dos. They are often innovative and require creativity. B's will include all those items that could be put off for a while, but that you feel are still important. These are your desirable to-do or routine duties. C's are items that could be put off indefinitely with little or no harm. These are your can waits and are often trivial. After you've prioritized your list, combine the 3 lists into 1 by including 2 A items from each of your long-term, 1 year, 6 month, and 1 month goals. Write these down under the heading A Priority Goals. The list you just made should indicate the most important goals you would like to accomplish in the next year. To ensure that this list contains your most important goals, complete this list. For the next list, imagine that you've been told that you have a terminal illness and you will die in 1 year. During your last year of life, you will neither be incapacitated nor experience pain. You will be able to do everything you currently do. Now write down your goals for the next year if you knew you would die at the end of the year. Title this list, My Goals If Next Year Is the Last Year of My Life. Compare the last 2 lists you have constructed. If these lists are totally different, you may want to consider more seriously some of the goals if next year is the last year of my life list. Now combine the A priority goals and My Goals If Next Year Is the Last Year of My Life list to reflect your most important goal accurately. Now that you've selected your current major life goals, it is essential to set up a timetable for each goal. Indicate time periods in which the goals can reasonably be obtained. Now you have important goals to work toward and a timetable to guide you. These are your top priorities. Translate these goals and in projects into monthly, weekly, and daily activities. Use these as a guide for your time management for a month. At the end of the month, review your list to see if you need to make a new list. Sometimes goals are completed, and sometimes uncompleted goals remain high in importance. Other goals may drop in importance. Set aside time every day to work on your A priority goals. Emphasize the results that you want rather than the activity, and try to accomplish at least one step toward each goal every day. When a sailor is preparing for a voyage, he will chart his course toward his destination and determine what prevailing winds he may expect. Seldom will he be able to predict all the changes of weather, but the forethought of planning tells him which reefs to avoid. He will also plan and rehearse his actions should a sudden squall or a prolonged storm appear. We may take an example from the real-life sailor as we sail on the sea of life. Anything that arouses a stress response can be called a stressor. How we plan our course with these stressors in mind will have an effect on how well we actually deal with the stress. First, we need to have a chart indicating where we are going and what dangers we may expect. Next, we need to know the strengths and weaknesses of the vessel on which we are sailing. If you know that your vocational goal is to become successful in business, you should also know your port of destination. Being successful means many things to many people. Without a specific goal, you may not even know when your ship has come in. A chart does little good unless you set a course, estimate a time of arrival, and determine a destination. The vessel needs to be equipped to make the voyage. If the ship has a slow leak or battered sails, you may need to decide whether to pull into an intermediary port for repairs or continue. If the leak develops a day away from your destination, you may be able to keep the ship afloat until you reach port. So it is with living. If we know we have to finish a project by the deadline, we can often keep going. When the deadline is met, we can make our repairs by relaxing and taking time off. The need may arise to look once again at our chart and see how far we are from our long-term goals. At this point, many people have problems. First, they were not certain how much they have accomplished. With a sense of time urgency, they decide to set off once again without planning a period of time to repair the ship. Something in the back of their minds may be saying, "It's better to be doing something without a plan than doing nothing." They forget that making the ship seaworthy and studying the chart to find a plan is far from doing nothing. Knowing what your goals and plans are gives you a better chance of recognizing the stressors you will encounter and how long you may be exposed to them. Without plans and goals, people never know when they have done enough or where they are in their voyage. It's very hard to relax and take a break if you don't plan for one or forget when it is break time. The best way to work effectively towards your A1 priority goals is to plan your day successfully. Here is one of the most powerful rules of time management. 1 hour spent in effective planning saves 3 to 4 hours in execution. Crisis can often be avoided with proper planning. Proper planning will also ensure that the efforts you make during the day are directed at your main priorities, the major goals that you have set up in your life. Without a plan, without a road map, or without a chart for navigation, a person is left adrift on a sea of stress. Making mistakes is part of being fallible. But remember the saying, if you don't have the time to do it right, when will you have the time to do it over? Plan enough time to do quality work the first time. The only alternative to personal planning is reacting to the demands of others. In effect, the decision of how you use your time is made by others who are not likely to have your goals in mind. You can end up on Friday wondering where the week went, or on your deathbed wondering where your life went. Allocate your time according to your priorities. Part of doing this means planning your time every day of your life. Schedule time to enjoy recreational activities. It is very important to schedule time to take care of yourself physically, and each day we should strive toward taking care of ourselves in the best way we can. The winners in life know that they have only one vehicle, and that is their body. Unless they maintain that body, they will grow old too soon and lose the energy needed to enjoy and accomplish their goals in life. You may also want to look back over your important goals and note whether you included a satisfying family life. If you are a workaholic, revise your list of goals and plans to include family and personal goals. Many successful people can be very lonely. As you work toward the accomplishment of your goals, one technique to help you keep focused on important goals is to keep a daily to-do list. Break your larger goals into very small short-term goals. Meeting some of these attainable short-term goals can be very reinforcing. It gives you an important sense of accomplishment and momentum. When you have a particularly tight timetable, you may find it helpful to write down specific things you do not plan to do. Write down the time wasters and time robbers you will avoid. For example, you may write down that you will not answer phone calls unless they are truly urgent, you will not accept visitors, or you will not file anything today. Not-to-do lists can be almost as important as to-do lists. We have yet to find the perfect person. We have found many people who are perfectionists, and these are the same people who tend to slow down the works. These people never seem to be able to see the forest through the trees. Remember, we will never be perfect. The role of man is not consistent with any concept related to the perfectionist. In fact, about 20% of everything we do is a mistake. Everyone makes about 2 mistakes for every 10 decisions, and you must realize that you too will bat about 2 for 10. Mistakes are the best tools we have to help us learn. If you are a perfectionist, you should etch in the back of your mind the words, "Just get it done," or "Do it." Too often we tend to want the first draft to be perfect, and the same perfectionism will prevent us from getting started on the task that will lead to our true goals. Vary the quality of your efforts. Trying to do your best at everything can lead to do everything adequately, but nothing brilliantly. Said another way, you cannot be anything if you want to be everything. Allocate your best efforts to your A priority tasks and strive for acceptable performances in your lower priority things. If you are an executive, match the quality of your efforts to the quality and demands of the project. If you are a homemaker, save energy from housework so you can enjoy quality time with your spouse and children. With this end in mind, ask yourself, what will happen if I don't do this chore immediately and perfectly? Put your goals in writing. If you have not put a goal into writing, it is not a goal. It is just a wish. Goals must be better than your very best, but they must be believable. If you did not jog and set a goal to run a marathon in 2 weeks, you would not believe you could do it, and you would probably become frustrated and stop trying. If you were to set a goal that you would run 1 mile in 2 weeks, you could believe it was realistic and work toward it every day. Your goals must be better than where you are now, but they must be believable. Set short-term goals. It is very rewarding to have reached a goal. If you set only long-term goals, you will become discouraged because you are less likely to receive short-term rewards and reinforcements. Goals should be set for all areas of your life. Set business and professional goals, but also set goals related to family, physical health, and spiritual growth. If you set only work goals, you are sitting on a stool that is balanced on one leg, and if anything should happen to that leg, you will end up sitting on your tailbone. Set long-term goals and personal accomplishments, as well as short-term goals. You should know who you want to be and what you want. Vividly imagine the accomplishment of your goals. See yourself accomplishing what you set out to accomplish. The winners in life rehearse time and time again, seeing themselves as being successful and attaining their goals. When the astronauts first landed on a moon, they described it as being just as they had imagined and rehearsed. One astronaut, as he stepped onto the moon, described it as Old Home Week because he had simulated being there so many times before. When the recent space shuttle was launched, the physiological stress response of the astronauts was minimal. They had practiced time and time again doing just what they were doing. Any of us who had not practiced being in a space shuttle would have had such great increases in blood pressures and pulse rates that we would have been unable to feel our hearts pounding. But the astronauts had rehearsed time and time again and vividly imagined the accomplishment of their goal. This is what the winners in life do. They not only set their sights on their goal, but they imagine themselves acquiring that goal. Goals must be ardently desired. If you just want something a little bit, you may not work and strive to attain it, and in all probability, you will not accomplish it. You really need to want the goals that you are working toward. This is why I emphasize the importance of establishing personal long-term and short-term goals. Time management is not a skill that you will immediately acquire. You must practice and live some of these techniques of time management. This may take you 2 months or as long as 6 months. But remember, as long as you are striving toward a goal and as long as you are practicing the necessary techniques, you will accomplish what you are working toward, and know that you are creating the time of your life. This tape is designed to bring about the changes in you as quickly as in the twinkling of an eye, or they may come more subtly over a long protracted period of time. For best results, play this tape nightly, every night as you retire. No doubt you will fall into a deep, restful sleep while listening to this tape. And this is how it should be, for your subconscious mind will benefit greatly from the suggestions contained on the tape, even while you're sleeping. A second playing of this tape each day and every day is advisable. Now a word of caution before we begin. Never play this tape in a moving car, for this is a hypnotic sleep tape and is designed to put you into a relaxed state of mind. So never play this tape when you are to maintain concentration in the awakening state. Now find yourself in a comfortable position as we are about ready to begin with the relaxation portion of this tape. So close your eyes and take a comfortable position, because in order to relax, you must be in a relaxed position. Reach a state similar to the one you experience between being awake and drifting into natural sleep. Don't question, don't analyze, and above all, don't help me put you into a state of hypnosis. Because the only part of you that can be hypnotized is the subconscious mind. And conscious efforts of the mind will only produce equal and opposite results. So assume for a moment that only two things exist in the universe: the space occupied by your body and the sound of my voice. And focus your attention like the beam of a flashlight on the sound of my voice. Begin by relaxing the muscles of your feet. Let every muscle fiber let go. Become slack and loose, loose and limp, limp and numb, numb and relaxed. Feel all the tension and stress leaving the muscles of your feet. Continue with the muscles of your legs. Feel them letting go, becoming numb and slack, slack and detached, detached and soft, soft and benumbed. Feel your legs and feet becoming relaxed and warm. The muscles of your thighs are strong, and you relax them in identical manner as all the other muscles. Just let them rest. Eliminate even the tone of these muscles. Allow them to become slack and relaxed. Relaxed and limp. Limp and free and detached. Soft and loose. As you release all tension from this part of your body. Relax your conscious mind. As you release all tension and stress from the muscles of the body. And feel yourself begin to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a relaxed hypnotic state. Deeper and deeper. Just let go. The area of the hips is a constant source of tension and stress. Just let your hips let go, as if they were flattening out upon the surface on which they rest. Disconnect all the different muscles. Let them become flaccid and numb. Numb and slack. Slack, detached, and limp. As they let go and rest. Let your conscious mind rest too. Don't question or analyze. Just drift deeper and deeper and deeper into a state of mental relaxation. The muscles of your abdomen are constantly on the job of containing the viscera. This is a good opportunity to let them take a break and rest. So just let them become limp and slack. Let them feel free, detached, and warm. As you relax the different muscles of the body, and as they rest and relax, their requirements become greatly reduced. And the internal organs will also rest. The rate of your breathing and heartbeat will slow down. Your breathing will become abdominal and shallow. All your organs are relaxing to the utmost as you drift into a more profound and deeper state of hypnosis. Let go and let yourself sink deeper and deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Feel the muscles of the small of your back following the same pattern of relaxing. Feel them becoming lax, limp, and free. Feel them letting go. Rest your mind and sink deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deeper and deeper. Relax the muscles of your chest and back. Allow all of them to become loose and slack. Slack and limp and numb. All tension and stress leaving this part of your body. As you relax new areas of the body, the ones we have already relaxed will continue to increase their relaxation to a point when we begin to become unaware of these parts of the body. Eventually, you will reach a state when you become pure mind and no body. Just let yourself go. And become deeper and deeper relaxed. Drift one notch deeper into hypnosis. Deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Let your shoulders flatten out against the surface upon which they rest. Allow all the muscles to become limp, to release all tension and stress, to become numb and loose, loose and slack and lax, relaxed and detached. And then experience this feeling slowly flowing down to relax the muscles of your upper arms and through the elbows to make all the muscles of your forearms numb and soft, soft and warm as it continues through the wrists to relax the muscles of the hands and fingers. All these fibers becoming numb and detached, free and soft, as you drift deeper and deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Continue by relaxing the muscles of your neck. Feel every one of these fibers letting go of all tension, becoming slack and heavy, becoming limp and numb, numb and soft and pliable, as you drift deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper into relaxed hypnosis. Just release and let things happen as they happen. And now we're going to relax the muscles of your scalp. Just feel these thousands of muscles becoming warm and loose. Feel them resting. Feel them becoming placid to a point where your scalp just feels like something that is only covering the back part of your skull, like a wig or a cap or a hat. You are reaching a state of total relaxation, drifting deeper and deeper into hypnosis, deeper and deeper and deeper, relaxed. Your face is like a mass of jelly-like substance. And as you relax the muscles of your forehead, the muscles of your cheeks and eyes, these parts become warm and soft, soft and numb, numb and limp, and slowly sink into that jelly-like mass. Let go and become more and more relaxed. Let the muscles of your nose, lips, and jaws follow the same procedures and notice that they become lax and detached, detached and numb, as they also vanish into that jelly-like mass. Relax the muscles of your ears and feel them becoming loose and limp as they hang free and detached at the sides of your head. Just continue letting go entirely and drift deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. I want you to imagine as vividly as you can the scene I'm about to describe. And I want you to find yourself in the middle of a tall, cool pine forest on a bright, warm summer day. See the bright blue sky and the golden blazing sunlight and those little puffs of white clouds. See the pine trees towering above you. Smell that wonderful fragrance of pine in the air. And hear the birds and notice them darting from tree to tree. And you are sinking deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Feel the crunch of pine needles underneath your feet as you continue to walk. You stop to notice the wildflowers that are growing along this path. Every flower so small and delicate. And yet together, what a wonderful array of color and splendor. You stop to notice a squirrel or chipmunk, who has also stopped to notice you. And you are sinking deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. You come to a big clearing, a big green grassy meadow that overlooks a fantastic valley. There's a big rock at the edge of this meadow, and you decide to sit on the rock and enjoy the view. You feel the warmth of the sun shining down on you and the warmth of the rock underneath you. And it's like you're in a cocoon. You feel warm, protected, and very, very comfortable. And as you look out over this valley, you notice that everything is happening in perfect order, in just the right way. That there is a time for planting new seeds and new ideas. A time when these seeds and ideas grow, prosper, and flourish. And you remove all of the negativity, all of the weeds that would impede their growth. And then comes the time to harvest the abundance of all of the work that you've done. And then the time of total rest and relaxation, of rejuvenation, before the process begins again. You notice that there's a river flowing through the valley, and you smile as you realize that you don't need to push the river, that it flows perfectly all by itself. And so it is in your life, that all things are happening in just the right order and just the right way. And that river is the power of your subconscious mind. That subconscious mind that you've trained and programmed for your goals. And the subconscious mind guides you with power, with little effort, to make wise decisions that will lead you to your goals. You are a goal-oriented person. You have many plans and projects to improve your work and your life. You are a high-energy person, and you love life. You take pleasure in living life to its fullest each day. And because of this natural, exuberant energy that you have, there are times when you may have forgotten to allow your body to rest fully. Life is filled with ups and downs, a balance of summer and winter, of rain and sunshine. You need both the highs and the lows in order to understand this balance. You may have become preoccupied with one aspect and neglected the other. This is easy enough to understand. Perhaps you've been driving yourself too hard in order to achieve a specific goal. But now you realize that balance is in order, because intense driving and pushing actually delivers a reverse effect. Built-up kinetic energy fills on itself until it can spurt energy in random directions. But this was in the past. Now you simplify your life. You are understanding your energy patterns now. and are able to harness, control, and release your life's energy in exactly the way you want to. Look at yourself closely. Note the instances when you experience this state of overabundant energy. You can realize that this oscillating energy was at times wasted and counterproductive to your needs and goals. Whenever this feeling comes, take a moment to close your eyes and count from 10 to 1. Feel the tension releasing and feel your body relaxing into its normal equilibrium, your maximum productive state of calmness and poise. Give yourself, allow yourself this moment of diversion, this simple relief from all efforts and mental pressures. Simply feel relaxed, and now it will be easier than ever to organize and synthesize your plans and activities, because you've renewed yourself and given your body needed rest from physical or mental work. Now it will be easier than ever to handle your responsibilities more effectively than before, because you can be whatever you want to be. You can calm yourself and relax your mind and body whenever the need arises. You can also set time aside each day, each week, for the enjoyment of your many successes, and make time to appreciate your blessings. Even after this session is over, each time you count from 10 to 1, with practice you can enter the same state of calm relaxation that you are experiencing right now. Recognize and rejoice that you have such abundance of energy at your disposal, and realize that it is easy to harmonize this energy and balance it in such a way that it allows you to attain maximum benefit. Picture yourself as a calm, relaxed, successful person you wish to be. Experience this as already having been accomplished, and know how deeply that you can be anything you wish to be. You can be calm, relaxed, poised, and in control of your energy in every situation. If you are playing this tape during the day and you should awaken very shortly to continue your regular activities, you will hear me now count from 1 to 5. At the count of 5, your eyes are to open and your mind will be clear and alert. If this is your normal bedtime, your inner mind is directed to void the awakening suggestions, and you will continue sleeping through the night, awakening in the morning, feeling perfectly fine, rested, and relaxed in every way. At the count of 5, your eyes are to open, your mind will be clear and alert. 1, 2, feel the energy coming back in your body. 3, 4, your mind is clear and alert. You feel better than ever before. And 5, open your eyes and wide awake, feeling better than you've ever felt before.